This is the Planning Commission work session for Thursday, May 5th, 2016.
So, what we're going to do first is run you through the highlights of those two binders that you have. Kind of help you get through it, okay? And we're going to go really fast, and then at the very end, we'll answer any questions you might have. We've got staff here that can answer to that. So basically, we've had two work sessions with the Board of County Counselors where we went through the same presentation so that they were available for, ready for the next hearings. We kind of gave them an overview of the adoption process, of what we have left to do. And as you guys know, we're going into hearing. We're going to have two joint hearings, one on the 19th and one on the 24th. It's the Planning Commission's meeting, so Steve will actually be the chair. What we're going to do is set the tables up in the other room, kind of in a modified V shape, where Steve and Mark will sit in the center. Then we'll have Planning Commission members on either side, and then the board members at the tail end. We're also going to have a table like this with microphones on it for the public to speak, okay? Because there's too many of you guys right now to use the dice. After May 24th, if public testimony is over, you guys close things down, your next meeting will be, or hearing will be June 2nd, where we anticipate you going into deliberations. Or you could continue public hearing June 2nd, continue on if needed. The board then would pick it up on June 21st. We've got a couple of backup dates after June 21st, just kind of on the calendar if we need it. And then June 28th, on consent, they would have the adopting ordinance. And then we'd ship everything up north on the 29th, and we'll see how it goes. You've seen this a zillion times. This is what we've done over the last 3 years or so. And for the longest time, we were kind of stuck in the middle. We didn't have any check marks. Well, we're now to the point where we're at the tail end for the adoption process. We reviewed the community framework plan and tied it all together. Once we have two new board members, we then talked about the countywide planning policies, why they exist, the statutory requirements of them, the purpose of them, how they've been in place and modified over time. So, for example, we've got some countywide planning policies that we're looking to modify this time. They're more Scribner type things where we've changed an RCW extension or we changed the 2.6 people per household number changes every time we do a comp plan, those type of things. There are no new countywide planning policies proposed for this go around. The preferred alternative, we reviewed the UGA map changes. The Battleground expansion, the West Center expansions, both for the school district and around the interchange area. Ridgefield, they're bringing in the residential to the north. Then we got into the rural and resource lands component, what changed there and the preferred alternative. We reminded them that we are changing Ag 20 to Ag 10. Forest 40 to Forest 20. For rural lands, those parcels that are abutting the Ag 10, where it makes sense, they were also going to go from R20 to R10. In your binders behind tab 1, you have issue paper 8, which kind of summarizes the highlights of what I'm going to go through here. But it also included in there is a parcel list that shows the parcels that are changing from what comp plan zone designation to more ahead. We then looked at how there were certain things as far as legend that needed to be changed. We were combining the rural commercial component. And then we looked into the comp plan text. What I'm going to highlight for you tonight are the new comp plan text policies, not the minor ones that we talked about all over. So for the environmental element, we have a new sustainability policy in there. And it might be easier for you guys, instead of looking at this, if you could look at issue paper 8, because we actually printed out all the new policies. It might be better for you. It's kind of in the middle of that issue paper. There are a number of transportation policies. Most of them are related to the bike and pedestrian plan that was adopted in 2010. In the housing element, we have a couple policies that focus on recommendations coming out of the aging plan, and a whole bunch of strategies that mirror what's in the aging readiness plan. For example, working with the BIA, universal design, and so forth. There's also a couple in there that tie back to the Growing Healthier report. The historical chapter, as Jackie mentioned when she was here last, the chapter we had in the comp plan previously was pretty much how you launch a historic commission, and now that it's been in full force for a number of years, the whole chapter was changed to show what it is that they're currently actively doing. So the policies in here are new, but it's reflective of what it is that the commission is charged to do. Community design element. This probably will be the most controversial section based on what we heard yesterday with the board. In here, we really highlighted the Growing Healthier report in particular with the new policies that are included. There's one that talks about climate change and a bunch of other things. This one is going to be a hot button. And then we moved into Title 40. Most of Title 40 is reflective of those things that we had to do because of the preferred alternative. For example, Section 40.210 was, we had to change the text to go from Ag 20 to Ag 10 throughout the entire code.
So I got to stop you for a second.
Sure.
So going back to the community design element where you said it's going to be a hot button, and that's because we have like encourage and promote those words?
Yes.
Yeah. So
that particular chapter was a hot button yesterday, and transportation as well.
Okay. So
because the council was focusing on policies that were primarily countywide planning policies and a few new policies in transportation as an example.
But this is just goals and policies without actionable components.
That's correct.
All right.
Okay. You will not find in your Title 40 changes actionable items that would implement those policies. Okay? That's for a later time if we ever get to it. Title 40 changes right now are pretty much have to fix.
I just wondered if I missed something before. Okay.
No, you're spot on.
Okay.
But we felt we needed to tell you some of the things that we've heard over the last couple of weeks. Okay. I'm not going to get into these in any great detail. I don't want to save a lot of time for questions. On this one, same thing. We made the change from urban reserve to an actual overlay. Urban holding was the same maneuver. In 560 is one that I want to draw your attention to. That's the plan amendment section where we have all the annual reviews and the docket text and procedures. One of the things that we're recommending in there is that all of the capital facility plans come to you every 4 years or so. Some of them say 2 years, some of them say 4 years. We're making them all the same at 4, which was parks for Anne, schools, just was involved in there.
Parks was the only non-4-year.
No. Schools also.
Schools.
They were all different intervals. For example, parks was annually.
Anyways, the proposal in 560 is to make them all the same, so that you guys are going to see them on a same recurring basis. The other thing that changed in 560 had to do with new GMA legislation about 100-year floodplains. Gordy can speak more about that. It has to do with the size of the river and whether or not you expand your UGA into that area or not. Was it 10,000?
Yeah, GMA has a provision now that says you don't expand UGAs into floodplains of rivers that flow more than 1,000 cubic feet a second. But that's only applies in Clark County to the Columbia, I think, and sometimes the Lewis River, North Fork. We just added that provision in our comp plan because it's state law.
In 210, we added a couple of sections that allow cluster provisions in both forests and agriculture. And we're going to go through the proposed new cluster section this evening. The rest of these are pretty much cross-reference relational components. Then we went into the capital facilities plan. They were okay until we got to the impact fee section. And that's another really hot button. They honed in on schools quite a bit and transportation. We pointed out that we have for transportation a long-term $158 million shortfall. The question was asked of our attorney at the table was whether or not impact fees were optional. So we had a huge conversation about what that meant. And it went along to say that you don't have to implement impact fees, but you've got to be able to pay for it somehow as a concurrency requirement. And that dialogue was about 15 minutes or so. So I know that's going to come back.
Are those board discussions on tape on the grid?
Yes, actually, CBTV taped them both. So they were about two hours apiece for both April 27th and the one for yesterday. If you want to go back and see what it says. And again, I'm trying to give you guys the highlights here, what we went into. So, park impact fees. Check that. This is the capital financial plan for the county where we summarize our obligations. So we're looking at, you should have this table in issue paper 8 as well. They really didn't have too many questions about this at all. They didn't have any questions about the arterial Atlas amendments. And where I want to head now is impact. We spent a lot of time talking about school impact fees. We made sure that they were aware that they are a pass-through, that the county collects them on the behalf of the school districts. The school districts actually prepare the capital facility plans. They do their CEPA. We're just the collecting body for them. There were comments about how much they have increased since the last time they were adopted. They threw in the comments about affordable housing, and we then moved on to transportation.
Just a reminder that you guys already provided recommendations on these in October, with the exception of Woodland. That came in January, so that's going to be the one we'll see that's new. We're going to need to take a snapshot.
Oh, and by the way, when you approved the Richfield School District's impact fees back in October, it was a much higher rate than what's shown here. Their school board in January revised their impact fee request, and that's what you're passed out here this evening, is the revised CFP and impact fee schedule for Richfield. Okay, so when it comes back, it will be a lower amount.
But these are the ones that we already approved.
Correct. Except for Woodland.
Except for Woodland.
Except for Woodland.
Yeah.
Is that already the lower the amount for Richfield? I thought Richfield was like higher.
Yeah, no, this is reflective of the new amount that Richfield was asking for. It was it was like 11,000.
Yeah, it was like 11 before it was what?
Yeah, so this table is reflective of the new ones, okay? In your binder, you have both Richfield CMPs. You have the one that you adopted, because we had to show that, and then the one passed out today, which was the new one, okay?
And on the table in your packet explains why the asterisk.
Park impact fees. We spent quite a bit of time reminding them that they adopted a parks plan last fall and the CFP associated with it. What they didn't do at that point was take action on the park impact fees. So they're being brought forward to them now at this moment. Districts 1, 2, 3, and 4 are the districts that are within the city of Vancouver, so they're not collecting fees. That's why you have the NAs. And then below that are the impact fees reflected in the capital facilities plan that was adopted. Transportation. Well, probably another 20-minute conversation on transportation, and I'm going to let Matt describe this one.
So back in 2015, you guys reviewed an update to the traffic impact fee. That was never adopted by the board. We're carrying that forward for implementation through this comp plan update. So as your recommendation, you proposed the four districts combining 6 districts into 4 districts. So that's carried forward, as well as the new rates. There are several other different categories with the traffic impact fees. Those are also carried forward in the technical document that's associated with.
There were comments made about the single rural district.
Yes, the councilors would like to see the single family and multifamily trip generation be at the exact same level, meaning that when we assess TIFs, multifamily and single family are calculated at the same rate. The way that we calculate the rates are based on a national study that does sampling of 150 different sites. In order for us to find a number that adequately calculates multifamily and single family, we'd have to do our own sampling within Clark County. That would take a significant effort, and we haven't had the time to do that between now and the comp plan update. So if they choose to go with the single residential trip generation rate, they can make that policy decision, but we don't have data currently to back that up.
Was that a recommendation from any outside the association?
No, sir.
Was the majority of the board seemingly in favor of that?
Last year at that time when it was the 3-member board, that's what the majority wanted to see.
There wasn't a lot of discussion about that, but it came up and was presented by one of the counselors. I'm not sure where this is going, but I know
it's back. Yeah. So clarify for me, what would our methodology be for creating that accurate data?
So we'd have to go out and actually calculate, sit at different sites within the county, calculate how many trips go in and out of, take that aggregate for both multifamily and single family, and find out what the average is.
So would you do like sampling at targeted sites that would be representative of single family areas and then multifamily areas?
Yeah, you'd have to calculate both. It'd be, the scoping of it would be complex as well as the actual.
Because you'd need to accomplish that for each one of the zones then.
Correct. Well, and the rate for single family and multifamily, if combined, would have to incorporate.
Yeah, but that's just gathering the data.
Yes.
Just to gather the data.
So the way the traffic impact fees works is it's the rate, and then you multiply it based on the trip generation, and that gives you your fees. So, for instance, if it's single family, which is currently 9.52 trips per day, the fee is calculated at 9.52. Multifamily is 6.5, I believe. So if it meets in the middle and it's around 8 or 7, and that's just a guess, it could be more, it could be less, then it's calculated at that, multiplied by that rate.
So you take that, someone comes in for a single family residence in Hazeldome, they take 9.52 times 375 or 338, and then that's the impact fee for that.
Yep.
And if you build an 8-unit apartment complex, you take 8 times 6.5 times that number, and that's your...
You got it.
So then we did a review of the final supplemental EIS, and I'm going to turn this over to Gordy. About that.
So you should have received this. The document was released on April 27th, so just last week. I believe it was couriered to you at some point. So
this is
tab.
It's in your binder.
It's in your binder. Yeah, this should be tab.
Binder two.
Yeah, binder two, tab five, I think.
Sorry. And book one or book two?
Book two.
Yeah, book two.
Book two, tab five.
Book one's mostly the comments.
The map that was passed out today goes in the supplemental EIS towards the front. You'll be able to see because there's a couple of map pages that didn't print out correctly.
In the first chapter. So, don't need to say too much about this. We finally got through the document. This is written about the preferred alternative as the board adopted on February 23rd, and this is not a decision document necessarily, but it's just to provide information about if we have these, if we choose this land use, here's the possible impacts and the possible number of lots and whatnot everywhere. So there's no comment period per se on this. Given the timing, if people want to comment on this, we'll just roll those into the general comp plan updates. And if there are any comments on this, they'll be included in another binder bit of information that you'll get before your hearing on the enactment.
Yeah, another binder.
Yep. this is your conditioning program to get ready to start carrying your stuff around.
It's interesting, I guess. Anyway, my question is, since February 23rd, you're saying that this has been completed?
Correct. Well, but remember what the subject of this was back in October or September, August now, maybe, of 2014, we commissioned ESA to write a document like this on alternatives 1, 2, and 3. And so basically they pulled that alternative 4. We had some, there's been some changes in population and number of jobs and whatnot, adjustment for the growth that's happened. Since then, and so they really were basically were recreating the document that they intended to distribute in the first place. There are a couple of other changes that were made because the board picked from the preferred alternative a little differently than what we had before. But if you were to take that document, which you never saw, that was going to be released in February of last year, it would look somewhat similar to what was done here. So it didn't take a lot of time. We just had some, we did, you know, we had to put the preferred maps in here and make sure the figures were correct, and that's what. Colette?
So, what I have up here now is issue paper 8, just kind of orient you to that. Very similar to what I talked about in more detail. We're trying to come up with the best way to put the agendas together for the hearing. So I'm putting that question before you guys tonight. As you know, when you do your deliberations at the very end, there are certain things you're going to have to take an action on and summarize this. All the information is in these two binders. It's actionable, whether it's the CFP, the arterial atlas, the population number, it's the maps for each of the jurisdictions, Title 40. Each of those things will be in the adopting ordinance the board will actually take care of at the later date. So we know we're going to put together another decision matrix for you to help you go through each of those actions that you have to vote on. But as far as subject matter, for the public and what you want to hear. Both hearings have been advertised, it's identical. So anybody at any time can come in and say, I want to talk about comp plan tax or I want to talk about impact fees all at the exact same time. So there'll be one sign-in sheet for everybody.
Sorry.
I know. We toss this back and forth many, many times. How can we make it easier for you? What can we do? I'm looking for suggestions. And cancel the hearing.
Public testimony? That's not going. Is that public testimony or deliberation? Because I mean, the decision tree you had last time, I thought worked pretty well for deliberation, but I. Seems unworkable to ask the public to organize into groups and only talk about this issue at this time and that issue at that time.
Right.
I mean, I think we probably just have to let people come up and talk. You know, everybody gets to talk once for 3 minutes and they get to talk about whatever they, you know, they might have 3 issues they want to talk about.
And we landed on the same thing, Steve, that we thought that that might be the best way to put your matrix together for June 2nd, and then just it's a free for all basically, for people can come up and talk about anything at any.
Yeah, I don't know how else to do it. If you try to break it down by topic, you're going to have people coming and testifying multiple times.
That's the issue. If we give everybody a set period of time, they'll come once.
Go ahead. Get your notepad.
Yeah, and some of the stuff you'll get in writing also. I mean, we're expecting a great deal. You should be expecting a great deal more material that'll come in between now and your hearing in writing. We've talked about a binder number 3.
A lot last time. So
yes.
Yeah. Probably more this time.
That will help.
So, John?
Could we have different sign-in sheets in the back and kind of go through all of those in order, and it's not going to totally alleviate it, but then if there's 5 people that want to talk about rural lands chapter, at least we're getting most of that kind of in the same time, so we can be taking notes, and then not that we're going to just pick and choose which ones we go through, we'll just go through all of them, so at least try and bunch testimony as much as possible together.
Yeah. The only problem I see with that is people are going to sign multiple sheets.
Right. Yeah. We'll just tell them sign up on one, and you can just say this is the only thing you can talk about.
People aren't going to follow, and they're going to sign more than one, and then I'm going to have to, and then I'm going to slip up and let somebody testify twice because there's 100 people. And I'm going to forget that so-and-so has already testified. And then someone else is going to complain, well, he got to testify twice. How come I only got to testify once?
Well, there's 3 hearings in which we're going to hear testimony, though. They are going to testify multiple times. You're going to hear them on the...
Two with the
commission.
There's only one hearing.
All right. We're going to listen to the people speak to us.
One hearing
on the 19th.
Yeah.
Not on the 19th? Not on the 24th?
Remember the model we used for the preferred alternative. You had 2 hearings a week apart. It's the same hearing.
But and people were allowed to come to each one and testify twice.
Yeah.
Well, that was then. You're in charge of these, so you can decide what you want.
I don't know how we're going to talk. I mean, they've talked before. That's how do you keep track when you have hundreds of people? And as soon as you let one person talk twice,
then everybody else is going to say, he gets to talk twice, how come I can't? And I don't want to be responsible for
like I said,
making
you're
sure that I
you are
accurately track who's testified and who hasn't.
You are chairing the meeting. It'll be up to you to decide how you want it to proceed.
What is the 3-minute?
Yeah, with a 3-minute.
With a 3-minute.
Sure, but the question is at the end, who are you additional?
Right. So there are two shots.
Focus on answering the questions, not going back to just talking in general.
And there's another way of going at it, and I've seen other boards do this, and that is the questions are from the board to the person testifying is just to clarify what they're saying. It's not to have a back and forth forever on an issue. I mean, you could set rules that way as well.
Yeah, I think that has to be. I think it's a one-way discussion. Just tell us what you want, it's 3 minutes, and then...
How about a sign-in sheet with the name and their address, and then to the right of that, topic or topics you'd like to speak about?
Just add
a line or a space for a topic.
Well, we could do that, but then how are we going to organize it by topic?
I don't know.
It's not, if it was an Excel spreadsheet, when you were done, you could hit topic and then call the people in that order, but it's a written sign-in sheet. That would be fine if it was a way to call in the order, you know, to group the topics, but I'm not going to be able to do that sitting up there with a stack of sheets.
So,
I still think you can say just sign in once on the topic you're most concerned about. Talk about anything, but sign in once on what you're most concerned about. That at least gets us party line. Yeah, I agree with you. There's still
the problem is if they sign in twice and I don't catch it, then you're going to have upset people.
Well, we'll recognize them.
We'll help.
You can help. Yeah, you can rely on staff.
Have Mark
help you. We'll be sitting next to you.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to call Mark and talk to him about it. Oliver called me the other day and suggested I do that.
Yeah.
I wanted to wait till after we had our work session before I called him because I knew there would be stuff that would come up.
Good plan.
We have not put anything together yet. We wanted to talk with you guys about it. So let us know.
I think last time, didn't we let people testify at both hearings?
Yeah.
That's what rose eventually the problem. Where we were having some people, and he said, I'm sympathetic to what you're saying about forgetting, and oops, I forgot, and then it's Pandora's box, and we've got it.
I think he said at the first hearing that you can only testify one, right. But then he started letting people testify
twice. So I think that's exactly right. So your position is...
I don't want to have any of those kinds of issues, and I'm just worried if we have multiple sign-in sheets with topics, people are going to sign two, and then one person is going to get testified twice, and then somebody who's on
times.
The opposite side of, you know, of their issue.
I think you will have
people to recognize someone, though. I mean, surely
right.
Of us will see someone.
But are you talking about the same night, or are you talking about different hearing aids? Because
well, I guess it depends.
The 19th and the 24th.
Right there, that will happen because we will have one, and then they'll.
I only got to talk about the rural lands last time. Now I want to talk about the housing market.
I don't think that's 3 minutes problematic. You got 3 minutes.
You have the taser.
So it might be easier
to
have a single sign-in sheet for both nights and let them testify twice. It might be easier to have a single sign-in sheet for each night and allow people to testify.
Yeah, that's what I would do. They can testify twice. One has at each hearing.
At each hearing.
Each hearing has their own sign-in sheet.
And we would encourage you to
hold it. And we don't have to remember who testified last week.
The first night.
Yeah, but can you imagine somebody at 3 minutes and they have 10 topics? That would be 30 minutes.
You got to No. We have 3 minutes total.
3 minutes total on 10 topics?
No.
You have 3 minutes total, period.
And then they can come back a week later with the rest.
So the other thing you might be faced with is, let's say it's 12 o'clock and there's 10 sheets left. Let's just say it. You can close the hearing on the 19th. It'll be
carried over
to the 24th, and those 10 sheets will go first on the 24th.
Yeah. If that happens, if we're instituting 3 minutes, I don't think that's going to be a problem. You'd have to have a lot of people show up at that point. I mean, we were doing pretty darn good last time. We got a lot of people, but
count on it.
And it will take a little longer this time because I'm like, last time I did a little planning commission to ask some questions, but it's still, this would take.
Well, actually, I have something that doesn't have to do really with testifying. It has to do with this body of planning commissioners, and I'm wondering how many of you have actually read these notebooks.
My goal was to read them, but it I have.
What's your definition of read? Like page by page?
Just about.
Yeah. I'm about a third of the way through it.
Right. You mean the footnotes?
Footnotes, yeah.
I think a lot of this we've done previous work on, and so when you get to it, you go, okay, we said that. For example, there was stuff today that we had already done, the school fees, we've already run that through. So yeah. I go, okay, we've done that. There's some minor changes, but yes.
Right, and we've been told by the staff here that there really is nothing new. Nothing new since 2007 or 2012, because things are being rearranged. They're being rewritten. That's what I understand has happened. That they've been put in different places.
Let's put it this way. On Friday, we submitted these two binders to Commerce, and so that's. That, of course, doesn't mean things can't be changed, but we're reasonably confident that, with a couple of exceptions, which we're going to talk about momentarily, one being the cluster ordinance, that this is what we're going to end up with.
Yeah, and so that, I guess that brings, I mean, I'm troubled by this much information myself, because I take it seriously to be on this climate commission, and honestly, it's overwhelming. And while we have seen some of this, we have to go through it so carefully to actually know what is where. And I saw things the very first notebook that I got, and I remember we had a work session, didn't say a word about it. And I said, well, I found some errors, or I found some things that maybe could be written different, and I have some questions about policy, things that are stated policy, and I'm wondering who made this policy? Is this a policy made in the community development department, or is it, was it made by a counselor? And I said, so do you want to talk about this? There was silence. Does anybody recall that? I recall it distinctly because I left thinking, why did I spend 5 hours reading this?
That's when we were going through these charts.
I don't know. All I know is it didn't seem like anybody wanted to talk about anything that was actually in this thing. And it's been sent to Congress? What the heck do we have hearings for? Why are we having a work session if it's gone?
Well, it's Congress's draft.
They have the ability to comment on this so before the
committee
takes
know
action.
Before, okay.
Yeah.
They know it's not approved.
Yeah.
And they receive.
Okay. So that's the normal course of action. Send it to Commerce. Yeah.
What Commerce does is they make sure that what we are submitting meets the GMA. You've submitted all the required elements. If you want what changes we make to those, that's up to you to recommend.
Yeah.
But everything that we're proposing meets a checklist in terms of what we need to do in the update.
And so, does the GMA tell us that basically those are there 14 goals? Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. That they're evenly cared for throughout the contract? Are they supposed to be evenly?
They're not in any particular
emphasis?
Order.
Emphasis? No. Well, I mean the emphasis.
Yes. Again,
they get the same weight.
That's up to you and the local jurisdiction.
Okay. I think so.
They're listed in 14 goals. So, and they could be just as well be listed in reverse order.
I
don't
mean
they're
listed.
That is.
I mean the equal weight. Doesn't matter the order
there.
It's whether they receive equal weight.
And that's
local.
That's up to you.
Okay.
Well, what that means to you is you assign the weight.
So what that means is being diligent to see this and giving our community 3 minutes each if they have some concern that they catch that maybe we didn't catch.
If you look at this book under the comprehensive plan, everything is in here twice. So there's a version that you can see what we're proposing to change, mm-hmm. and a version that's easier to read on. So if you take this first...
No.
Mm-hmm. You didn't put
there's,
this thing?
There's just track changes in there.
All right, never mind. Because the version we had at one point, you got two things.
Yeah, yes, right.
And that was the first set of books.
Yeah. And the community design element, for instance, there were some policy statements in there that... I know that I had some reluctance when these two groups came forward, the healthy something or another, and also the aging in place. And I understand that the council, after we saw it, did not recommend that be part of the comprehensive plan. That's my understanding. They did not want that in a comprehensive plan.
What council? Three-body council or the five-body council?
Could be the three-body, did it? But they were duly elected.
Well, I'm making a statement. I don't understand. They haven't voted on this at all. We're just giving our recommendation.
That's before. I don't mean now. I mean when we saw it before us as a planning commission.
I think we just addressed that.
Page six.
Yeah.
The conversation we had with the board was at a work session last summer. It was not this board. It was the previous board. We presented to them we were talking at that point about the countywide planning policies. And at that time, we didn't, and we still don't have a policy in the countywide planning policies to amend the countywide planning policy. That was one thing. It was triggered by a request from the city of Los Centro that they subsequently withdrew. We were proposing to put in a shoreline countywide planning policy. So as you recall, we developed a shoreline program with our seven city partners, and there was some conversation about including the Growing Healthier and the Aging Readiness Report. At that work session in June or July, I think, of last year, the board said, we don't want to deal with countywide planning policies. We're not going to make any changes to those, which is what we did. So you won't find any reference in the document to the Growing Healthier Report. That was the sum and substance of that conversation. Now, what this board will do with that information is up to them and up to you.
So it's back in there, so this board...
It's back in there under the county's planning policies, not the county-wide, which are, again, we can't change unilaterally because they were adopted jointly with the cities. So we do have the ability to look at county policies. And yes, you'll find language in there that talks about the Growing Healthy Report and the Aging Readiness Report. I'm a member.
Gordy, one of the things I'd like to be prepared for is a response to this letter from the seven cities and the county. It's been telling us that our calculations are invalid for the population projections. So that's going to come up at the meeting. I'm sure they're all going to testify at the meeting. So I would like to be able to handle that and defend our population projection.
Yeah. So did you have a question about the letter?
Well, basically, they're saying that our calculations are invalid.
No. This is affirming our planning assumptions, and it's
defending them from some other.
It's saying that they're not valid. A 2% growth rate is not valid.
I must have misread it wrong because starting on the second page, I'm talking about the accuracies and the sources that we're using. Says there at the bottom of page 2, the claims omit in our view, the state policy implications of the forecast.
Yeah, the claims.
But who? Yeah, but who's the making claims the claims, Richard?
Right. I don't know. That's why I'm
They're responding to people who said our comp plan is obsolete because it uses the wrong population data. We dispute that.
The cities
dispute that.
Okay.
The claims against the county's forecast omit. So not the county's forecast, but those claims that are coming against it.
Yes. All right. This is in defense of the process and the population and the growth rate that the county chooses.
So one of the other letters you're going to have, was it?
You also received a letter that we received this week from the Development Engineering Advisory Board regarding the park impact fees.
Yes.
Yeah, basically questioning the formula for the park impact fees and that the amount is too high that we're proposing for increasing the fees.
Is he looking at these two volumes and are there going to be submitting recommendations on global issues?
We've asked anybody and everybody to look at these two volumes. These have been on the grid, and I don't know whether Dee specifically is going to comment or not. So they're certainly welcome to. Individual members are certainly welcome to. We're in open season now on what these
these two volumes. Like a work session like ours to look at
the process for adoption does not.
And Oliver's been going almost monthly throughout the process, visiting with Dee.
Yes.
So they're up to speed as to what's before the council, but no, we didn't give them two binders as they go off. We point them to the website.
But different components, as Colette's indicating, different components of the comprehensive plan update taken to be such as the update to the park impact fees, TIF, and
Some of the teleporting co-changes.
Kind of schools went to be for schools.
I think our work sessions have been pretty rushed because under a tight deadline, but I think a lot of the high points were pretty well brought out by these new seats and pointed out where things were moved or where they were changed. And maybe I have more confidence in staff to be able to pick up some of the problem areas. For instance, some of the changes in the transportation section that modified. Took out some of the strongest language that might have been coming from the back-end folks. You know, made it, you had input from the staff and the transportation section.
We did.
Made it more real world, in my opinion. So that made me quite comfortable in the area I was comfortable with. I think that probably happened in almost all areas where you did. First, you had to combine things moving around, and probably had a bit more.
Yeah, and just to be clear, Eileen raises a good point. When we set out to update the comprehensive plan back in 2013, we had a goal and a vision that we would rewrite the comprehensive plan document and thin it out, have a true strategies chapter, get rid of the redundancies, and make a comprehensive plan policy document. It was a whole lot more user-friendly, somewhat akin to what the City of Vancouver has done. I mean, they've thinned down their policies quite a bit and made it easier to use. Given the situation, developing Alternative 4 and not knowing what it is we wanted to say about most of this stuff, we had to shelve that and basically drop back to taking the existing document and making the changes that we need. So what you're right, I mean, what you're seeing looks different because it basically is tweaks made to the current plan. We never got a chance to finish the work that we started because we ran out of time. And so that's why it looks different. But in terms of what we're actually changing in the document, I think I'm reasonably comfortable that you'll find that issue paper 8 hits the highlights. Yes, there is a lot of it, and a lot of it you will go page after page, you struck out. But what we're doing here, even though there's a lot of materials, we're showing our work. We're showing what has changed, how we've reorganized it, but in terms of actual new language and things that we've inserted, issue paper 8 is a good summary of that. that. So I would, you know, start there, pick the things out of that that, that you're happy with or unhappy with, and you can go back and read the details in the document itself. So but that would be my recommendation.
And what I'm owning up to is one of the things I'm tasked with is going through all of those Word documents, taking the track changes off, and making it look pretty and do covers and stuff. And quite honestly, I'm only about two-thirds of the way through that. But it doesn't have to be done until the 21st of June. But I wanted to show you, it does get better over time. I'm through transportation chapter now on this thing.
It's big.
It's huge. It's over 300 pages right now. And I'm still not done. But it's coming. But if anybody would like to have chapters that are final looking, let me know and I can send that to you. I can copy what I've already done so far and send it to you. Just let me know if it's easier to read.
Using a PDF for a Word of those?
Yeah, I can do that too.
Bill, so I heard you say we have the transportation sections about the strongest points in your opinion. I'm sorry, you said I thought I heard you say that some of the strongest points are missing now in the transportation element.
Well, there were some of the recommendations, like the bicycle safety. I thought we made more appropriate for the urban safety rather than a strategy. That's my personal point. I think it's make a sense. Still in good faith to the ideas of safety. I think one of the words is if feasible.
Right.
Clean comp plan
chapters too.
Well, yeah, why don't you just send it, if it's electronic, just send it to everybody and
okay.
We can choose to extract what we want then.
I will do that.
We also, the proposed CFP, I have larger versions of this. The table that you guys have, the same information in your packet now, it's just increased font size. So, we can definitely
that's the other part of it. Like, this is it's tiny. What, 10 point or 9 point font?
Yeah.
So it's not really surprising to me, the comment that you said, that when we looked at total expenditures on the plan where it had transportation, parks, stormwater, county building, other facilities, that there was no comment on it. That's because it balances on the document.
That's our 6th year. We're required to balance it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think in the context of where it doesn't balance, is still more difficult to extract. You got to kind of go table by table, element by element, and find out where we're actually having our issues in that regard. Do we have some place that I just haven't found yet that kind of summarizes
the transportation issues?
Not just transportation in across the whole CFP.
Yeah. It should be appendix
P.
Yeah, but which tab?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the book. Take a look in there.
It's book 2, tab 1.
Book 2 has the CFP and the CFF.
Book 2, tab 1.
But that's a reflection of all the service providers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And so what I think I heard Ron say was, if you take the capital facility financial plan, which is a 6-year document, and you were to show year 7 through 20,
yeah,
do we have a table that shows those numbers where we have
mixed up on tables?
I don't recall seeing a table like that long.
Okay.
I mean, transportation obviously includes that one. Parks has it in their CFP, but they're all separate.
Yeah, they're all separate. Not the combined 20 year.
I don't believe that tab one.
Yeah, it's the
combined 20 years.
Providers.
Right. No.
So now's a good time to ask questions.
Because I think what I see mostly is everything is working on the six-year plan or recapping from the 2004 through 2007, and it's all quite rosy, but that's the intent, right? We're supposed to be balanced. So I'm looking to say, is there a particular point in time in which we are unable to meet our obligations based on what we've said we want to accomplish?
Are you saying beyond 6 years, Tom?
Yeah.
But, and this is a question, we are not required for 20 years to be balanced.
No.
Correct.
So, that's
kind of... Does that mean you don't want to know?
Well, I mean, I kind of look at it like, okay, we have these projects out there, and as you go, funding becomes available, that the process naturally catches up, and then if it doesn't, then there has to be some ultimate changes at 10, 15, or whatever, that you would say, no, that funding's unavailable. So I just assume that's what the work was. We're out 20 years, we're not able to see or have a specific, we may know what we want, where we want to get that funding, but...
But we don't know where we're going to get that funding. I think that's why there's a gap.
Or maybe you're not able to secure it.
So there's that $150 million shortfall that we're showing, and that's just for transportation.
Transportation, right.
So in Appendix A, and I believe in the transportation chapter as well, there's strategies to balance that. And those strategies are... How do I say this? They're open. They're not. They're policy decisions. Ultimately, when it comes down to how to make up that $150 million.
Yeah, but there's an acknowledgement of the shortfall and recommendations on how to close the gap.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm expecting, I guess, to see that for all the elements of capital facilities. Yeah. If there is a gap.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of the thing is, the state law requires the 6 year for the external providers, and so we don't receive 20 year costs for like schools or fire, but for the services that the county provides itself, the 20-year is really transportation, the government facilities, parks, and
stormwater. Yeah. Stormwater is one that, you know, I have my concerns about.
Yeah.
Parks, obviously, with the content of the impact fees that we're looking at.
Address this the last work session, the capital facilities plan. This is also in your Appendix A, transportation issues, one of the tables. This is j- just a blown up version that allows your eyes to get a little bit more relief. And then also the associated traffic impact fees below. So it looks a little bit different than previous CFPs, but it's still broken up into those four different categories. Those that are committed, the TIP projects, which are the first 6 years of the 20-year CFP. Those that are concurrency driven, which are necessary for the growth to occur. The regional and partnership projects, the projects that we partner with WashDOT on, as well as our ongoing programs. So you'll also see specifically in the section one, the committed, the TIP, we kind of broke those out differently with this CFP, where we're not showing total project costs, we're showing the amount that's going to be spent within the 20 years. So there's several of these projects that you'll recognize from previous years, so we wanted to capture the costs that were spent previously. A little bit color-coded where the blue or gray add up to the total CFP costs on page two, and then the yellow adds up to the total TIP costs.
So just for clarification again, when it says new on page two, I think, where it says new concurrency-driven projects, those are ones derived based on the update.
Correct. So our needs based on the preferred alternative chosen by the board. Several of those intersection projects, what we're seeing is there's going to be a need, whether that need requires a signal, a turn lane, will have to be studied at the time when that need arises. So the costs are forecasted costs rather than specific.
Other questions? I'll move. Chart. You want to talk about park impact fees?
As far as park impact fees, if you binder number two, tab number four, we talk about the updating the park impact fee. Basically, before I go further in the audience, we have Barbara Anderson. She's co-chair of the Parks Advisory Board. And we have Steve Dew from Conservation Techniques. He's the consultant that prepared the technical document for the Parks Impact Fee update. And then also in the back of the room, we have Bill Bierke, who is head of the Parks Division for the county. So we were all involved in updating the Park Impact Fees. The last time the fees were updated was adopted was 2003. So We adopted the parks plan, as you all know, last fall. And as part of this comprehensive plan update, we need to have a capital facilities plan that matches our parks plan. So therefore, we needed to update the park impact fees, prepare the study. If you look at tab number 4 in your binder, there's a staff report on, if you look on page 4 of the staff report, it shows, first of all, the proposed fee, park impact fees.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. As Colette indicated earlier, those are the park impact fee districts. Number one, I want to say this is just regarding the Vancouver urban growth area. We're not talking about the rural area. We're not talking about the urban growth areas for the smaller cities. Just for the Vancouver urban growth area is where we're talking about updating the park impact fees. And 1 through 4 of the park impact of the park district, that those are either predominantly in the city of Vancouver or they're completely within the city of Vancouver. So we took this through public aid, through public outreach. We took the information to the Building Industry Association, the Development Engineering Advisory Board, but we also took it to our Parks Advisory Board. And as you'll see, the bottom of page 4 of the staff report, the Parks Advisory Board recommended that we gradually increase the park impact fees over a 3-year period. That's all I have as far as updating the park impact fees.
Did anybody look at if there was just a regular cost of living increase on those fees, what they would have been after 14 years? How much? You know, 162% is a big increase, but in 14 years, the cost of living doubled 3% a year. But is there ever a comparison made to that?
I'm not sure I understand, Bill, but when Steve was preparing the technical memorandum, they were looking at the inputs to the formula, which is in our development code, and that includes the acquisition costs and the cost of developing parks.
So I could rephrase what Bill said. If you had taken the 2002 numbers and adjusted every year for inflation all the way up, what would the numbers look like compared to what you're asking for? Did you run some sort of?
I'll just come up there so.
Yeah.
Evening, Commission. My name is Steve Dew, Conservation Techniques. And as Lori mentioned, my firm took the lead on putting together the park impact fee technical document that we're discussing at the moment. And Bill, to answer your question directly, no, we didn't look at kind of that annualized cost of living increase between the 2002-3 numbers to current. But as Lori mentioned, the county code is fairly prescriptive in the various inputs that are required as part of the park impact fee calculation. So for this technical update, we simply followed the existing code and followed the existing methodology, but revised the various data inputs that went into it. So specifically, the costs for acquisitions, the purchase of land, the cost for developing parks, we revised the people per household for single and multifamily splits and the like. The biggest driver of the increase that you're seeing is in the land cost side. So between the older numbers, which were adopted in 03 based on 2002 data, and the proposed numbers, the overall increase in just the land value component was, I believe, about 140%. So the bulk of the change is driven directly by the cost of land increasing over time. And with regard to the memo that was provided by DEEB, they offered a
a range that they see commonly in the Vancouver area of about 130 to 170,000 per acre. And after we met with them a few weeks back, we reviewed and then revised the acquisition cost to take out a few high-end numbers that basically were pushing the numbers too high, just to tighten them up. And now that the numbers are revised, they're actually fairly consistent with that deep-based range of 130 to 170. Four of the six districts fall within that range, and the average is just over that 170 range, about 173 per acre. Fair enough. I just wanted to offer the background to it.
So in regard to what you've just stated, would you say now the letter from DEEB has been satisfied, or is it an outstanding issue on two of the zones that remain?
From my point of view, I can't speak for staff. I feel as though it's been resolved or addressed to the best we can. To give a little bit more additional information about the acquisition cost figures, they are based on sales data provided by the county assessor's office dating back to 2011. So it's a five-year range of sales data by district, which is then filtered to basically look at parcels that would be likely park acquisition targets. So they're residentially zoned because parks are in residential areas. They're no smaller than a half acre. They exclude no value properties and really expensive properties and the like. So we've really tried to tighten the data as best we can. And given that it's a five-year average over that 2011 to 2016 data set, it's the best data that we have.
The letter from DEEB was dated May 3rd. So are these changes in the last 2 days, or are their letters still critical of the number?
Their letter, I think, is in response to the updated.
Okay. So they're still concerned.
They still feel, areas that are outstanding.
They feel concerned, but my perspective is we've done the best we can.
Okay. And I think we're not expecting necessarily a complete meeting of the minds, but I think we need to be able to put on the record why there's a distinction from your organization and a stakeholder group that carries a lot of notoriety in their name. So as we go to the public hearing, I would expect us to have this as an item to get onto the record.
Okay. Do we have a general idea of how much parkland the county owns within the urban growth area that hasn't been developed yet? I mean, how much land is sitting there that isn't being built because we don't have maintenance dollars for it?
There's we've got several properties that are out there that are sitting that we've acquired over the years, and we still have six properties that were slated to be built by now. As with the levy that passed, the 12 Parks District levy, so we still have four neighborhood parks and two community parks. We are building two neighborhood parks this year, starting in June, but there are also other properties that are sitting outside of those 36 original parks that still have yet to be developed. In 2014, our county councilors did something that I thought was fantastic, and that was they combined acquisition and development together. So we can actually put more emphasis on developing some of these properties that we've got now. Because before that, most of the PIP money that coming in was on the acquisition side, not so much in development. So we always kept bouncing up against not having enough money to develop properties once we acquire them.
We still have maintenance problems right now, or as far as budgetary problems too.
We're still struggling from the 2010 crisis, where a lot of the general fund parks were shifted over to the MP Metropolitan Parks District parks, and so far the Board of County Councilors has taken 10% and put that back into general fund. We still have about 90% left to go. The Metropolitan Parks District is basically covering $1.465 million every biennium to And so it's a burden to the Metropolitan Parks District parks. And so we're going to just keep going after them and seeing if we can get that burden lifted so that we can continue building parks and maintaining them with the levy funds that we've got.
Yeah, have you considered putting an escalator in the TIF rates, like the TIF ordinance, as an annual calculation based on the AMR?
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, one of the code revisions is to make the revision, have an annual revision to the PIF rates, just like TIF.
Every 14 years, whether you need it or not.
Yeah, it has been, the PIF rate increases have been tried back in 2008. Was it just one time? 2008?
The calculations were run in 2008 and 2009, but there was no political support at the time
to update them. Yeah. So here we are.
I'm sure you got enough money in there to take care of those beavers.
Yes, indeed.
Other questions on parks?
Okay. Right. Thank you for your time, folks.
Oh, you're going to talk about it. Yeah. Mention it. Our recent addition. No?
One is the board has already taken action on all of the other swim packages.
So we had a work session with the board yesterday. I'll just mention briefly. One of the things we're proposing to do in the preferred alternative is to reduce the minimum parcel size from ag 20 to ag 10 and forest 40 to forest 20. Nothing new. We've been talking about it for quite a while. One of the things we proposed to implement that was to require that if you wanted to subdivide and resource land, you had a cluster. The board basically said, we want another option besides having to require a cluster, and that came out yesterday. So I've been working today, and we'll continue tomorrow to put together essentially a second alternative, which would be an ordinance that looks, I'm assuming, something like our rural cluster provision, which gives you, you can either, if you had say 20 acres in a 5 acre zone, you could get four or five acre lots out of that, or you could cluster and have a remainder parcel. So I think that's more on the lines of what the board was interested in. So that's something you haven't seen, but I'm explaining to you the concept. We'll probably have something along the lines that looks like that. We're going to have to figure out how to make it saleable, because we're talking about dividing resource land, and as you know, GMA has holds a very high bar to land that's designated for ag and forest. So that's an ordinance that you haven't seen, but you'll be seeing it in the next few days. And it will be, we're not saying, the board didn't say replace what you proposed, just throw it out there as another idea. So that's kind of where we're going with that. I wanted to also mention that we have a new attorney. Since we are at the moment not allowed to, we're not being served by Chris Horner, Chris Cook in the prosecuting attorney's office. His name is Steve DiGiulio. He was here yesterday for the board work session. He will be joining us for the hearings and senior deliberations and sort of the comp plan. Big dates sort of going forward. So he's from Foster Pepper, law organization, a law firm that's in Seattle. So we're trying to figure out now how to get a video conference situation set up here on our end so that when we have questions, it's kind of hard to drive down here to get an answer to your question. So that's the situation we're in there. So you may see his name associated with something or something you're going to lose this person. You'll know who that is. So Amanda, who's here from the, or was here, she left from the prosecuting attorney's office, has also been advising us as needed.
So he will be involved before the hearing, right? He's not just coming as legal counsel at the hearing.
he'll have background on
this. He's been here for the two board work sessions, the one we had a week ago, the one we had yesterday.
And we'll continue.
And he'll be here as long as we need him.
Okay.
Will he be here for our deliberation?
Yes. If
video conference,
if need be. And for the board's deliberations.
Yeah, well, I think we would probably want him for a deliberation. I imagine there would be questions.
Yes. And as long as, again, as long as we need him, he put these dates on his calendar. And the last thing I was going to do, if we had, before, unless there were any other questions, was to review the schedule. We've talked about this. Our next meeting is your next meeting. Our next meeting with you is the joint hearing on May 19th. That's 2 weeks from tonight. I apologize for the confusion of the date. We apparently had two versions of the notice. One said the meeting would be at 6, the other at 6:30. We were hoping for 6 o'clock just to get an earlier start, but like what ended up getting published in the newspapers was 6:30. So we're stuck with that. So if we had a paper other than the Reflector, we could have corrected at least one of those, but we're stuck with it. So sorry about that. We lost a half hour of time, but we'll get through it. So Thursday, May 19th, and Tuesday, May 24th, also at 6:30. These are the dates that Colette showed you earlier. June 2nd, which is the first Thursday in June, is your deliberation night. I believe that also starts at 6:30. And the board hearing is scheduled for June 22nd. And 21st. That'll start at 10 a.m.
21st.
We have the 22nd, I think, as a backup time if the board needs more time. So those are the comp plan dates. Commerce has acknowledged the receipt of the draft material.
Do we have a backup time?
Do you have a backup time?
You don't need a backup time.
You're going to do it all in one night. We're reasonably confident.
What happens if we are not able to?
We'll jump off that bridge when we get to it.
What?
25th backup?
No, he's asking for us.
Okay.
No.
For our hearing.
Back up for the PCs.
On June 2nd?
If you think you need one, then you should email Oliver or me and we'll see what we can do.
I don't know. I mean, until we get into it, we barely made it through the preferred alternative and whatnot.
Oh, this is much simpler.
Like that was simpler than this.
This is much simpler than that, the preferred alternative.
Yeah. I mean, there's two binders sitting there.
Yeah.
I can look on the calendar and email all of you just in case.
Could we see that potential breakdown for that hearing before the hearing? You said you were going to try to break it down.
The decision matrix.
Can we see that? Can we have that just sent out so we can kind of look at it?
Sure.
Oh, you mean the things you need to make decisions on?
Yeah, because
online.
That also, sometimes you look at it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that might help too.
And also, if it is three pages, there's things that I could not talk about. That I'll say, okay, let's keep it going. And so I meant that not to stifle the discussion, but to say, okay, look, let's. Because if we did run into that, it sounds like it's messy on there.
Well, our job is to try to make it as easy for you as possible. So if you have ideas or suggestions, that's why Colette
might help to see the decision tree in advance, and we can at least be thinking about things. It might actually be helpful to have it for the public hearing, because then as we're listening to the testimony, even if we don't do any breaking it down, we can at least be categorizing things as people are saying.
What you're going to see is an offshoot of issue paper 8.
What?
Of issue paper 8. So all the things that are number of the things that are new, and other than saying yes, we'll pick this map, we'll pick the arterial atlas amendments. Most of the policy changes. Not as many as you think.
Four pages.
Really?
No,
maybe.
Not all.
We'll put it in 6-point type for Eileen, so you can get through it.
But I'm assuming you need to set the folder each time.
You would. That would be the preferred.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering how many separate votes we need then?
We haven't counted them, but we will.
We haven't put it together.
More than 40 or less than 40?
So we'll put it together and send it to you.
All right. Because we barely made it through the one night on the third alternative. I think we were about 11, maybe 17, but it was less than 20 different votes. That was
a nightmare. I mean, we had to stay well after our usual.
What was the testimony that night?
No, that was deliberation.
Correct. That's what June 2nd
and
said.
That's what we're doing June 2nd. But I mean, if we've got 17 items, we might be able to get through that in one night. But if we've got 37 items, there's no way.
You're not going to have that many.
Yeah.
For example, if I put on there the battleground comp plan map and the zoning map, and you're taking all those changes for battleground and you're voting on that.
That's that you want.
Yeah, rather so than individual, because so you've already done that.
Six or seven different cities.
Yeah, and then there's a county unincorporated outside of a UGA. Yeah.
And then how are we voting on this binder? Are we voting chapter by chapter, or
by subject matter? So you've got comp plan text.
So mm-hmm. one vote on all the comp plan text.
You could, or you could break it. You
well,
could,
I don't
you could break it down
I
by chapter.
I don't know yet, but we need. I guess we need to get that as soon as possible. Yeah. How you want us to break it.
Yeah, we can put something together that will make your discussions easier. What you want to vote on? You want
to take it? Be helpful to have it even before we can test it.
But I think for all of us, if there's any component inside the comp plan that we particularly feel like we want to go through, then we have to be able to have that opportunity rather than an up or down vote. I don't want to vote down the entire comp plan because there's a particular element or policy in there that I feel
I
like.
I think that would be part of our deliberation where we pull that out and try to make amendments. And I guess the issue you have to be raising is what if we don't all agree on all the amendments and we want to vote on anything except for one of the sections.
Well,
one
the exceptions
we,
could become a diatribe all by itself, right? Of all the exceptions and then friendly amendments to those exceptions, et cetera, et cetera. So I guess what I would like to see is during our time while we're together, even with the counselors, if there are particular components of that we want to talk about breaking out, because that way we can also talk to staff and have the counselors hear our discussion in that regard. That to me, between the 19th and the 24th, is our best opportunity to make the rest of our peers aware that that's going to be something that we would like to see segregated. Otherwise, how are we going to do it? I don't know of a way. If we wait until June 2nd and start talking about all the individual components of just the comp plan, which is this part, we're not going to get through this part.
I don't know if we can deliberate on the dates we're taking public testimony.
That's
we can add issues to the decision matrix. I have an issue with this section. Let's make sure that gets on our deliberation.
Yeah, I'd like to see transportation broken out as a separate discussion and vote. I'd like to see the housing element broken out.
I don't have a problem with that. I'm just not sure the right place to do it is at a public hearing when we've got 150 or 200 people waiting to talk.
Well, all right. So what is the venue, in your opinion, then?
Well, I wish we had a council here, because my only concern would be, we have to have public meetings, so we have to be careful how we do emails. I mean, my concern would be, my preference would be to resolve it even, before, outside, if anybody has some specific issue they want to bring out, maybe contact Colette and let her know, and she can try to work it into our table.
How does that sound to the group? If we feel like we have a specific item we'd like to see broken out, we'll all send it to Colette and she'll add it to the decision matrix.
I think the issue is we can't copy just each other on that email. We just have to only send it to Colette. Otherwise, it's a public meeting by email.
Sorry.
But then we'll get a draft, so we'll know before the hearing.
Colette can
aggregate
all the individual ones and try to break out the things that people want broken out. Mm-hmm.
We can still be a surprise
to
them if
we
want to.
Yeah, sure.
No, that's the truth.
Well, that's
probably
true. Yeah, we expect that.
There's also no reason
once
we do
Monday, June 6th on board. That's open.
There's no reason we can't decide to break that out and have one item for
at this moment.
These specific subsets of the comp plan, we'll vote on those and a separate vote on the rest of the
comp plan.
Well, it also, we're flying without a net, so in the end, it might be prudent to just in case we don't get done. I mean, I know that in a long time, but I don't know, if we don't get done, we don't get done. I don't know, but I'm just saying, Ron wants to go page by page now.
No, he's not.
Steve, there's Monday, June 6th, that's open in the board hearing room, if you would like a possible backup date.
If everybody's available.
Is everybody available for Monday, June 6th?
June 6th.
That's Monday.
Monday, June 6th, we could start at 6 or 6:30, whatever.
Can't think of a good reason.
Yeah, we need a decision because whatever we do, we need to notice.
Not if it's continued.
I'll reserve it just in case.
It would be prudent to say that we have a date certain.
No, it's canceled.
I'm sorry?
We can always cancel.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. You better show up.
You guys are all going to be there. You're going to be happy. You're going to have a good time.
Wow. Well, so, like
for the break, for the hearing night, what kind of special treat would you guys want?
Break.
Cookies, brownies,
coffee.
Tequila. Tequila.
Some of those funny brownies?
Brownies from the place that was
eating. Yeah, some of those funny brownies?
Yeah.
Any other questions for the moment?
So did we set a time, I'm sorry, for the 6 as a backup? Is it 6 or 6:30?
Let's see what Sonia comes up with.
I would keep it consistent at 6:30 because yeah. We've done all the rest of them. That way it won't confuse anybody and it won't confuse the public.
To put that on your calendars as a potential backup. Yeah, then we'll make a note of that.
So to get your juices flowing, I'll work on the decision checklist for you guys, and we'll email it out to everybody, okay? And then you can look at that and see if that works for you or if you'd like to see something.
Yeah, when I have additional comments, email back just to you.
Yeah,
just to me. What we'll put together is what we think you need to vote on. Add and subtract as when we get there, as you see fit.
I think the idea is we'd like to do some of that before, so we're not sitting there at our deliberation here trying to figure all this out.
No, I think we can put that together fairly quickly.
No, I mean, some of us, like Ron wanted to maybe suggest putting something out and saying we should do that before. We say we can do it by email, only to Colette, so we're not having
to. So then we can show up, we have, that's what we're doing. So then we would know, or you would know, only that day we would know.
Because we need to make sure that you take the appropriate actions, and we also need to get findings out of you, so it's in everybody's best interest to have a check.
Tony, we need to make sure Cindy's available that night, too.
Yeah, I think I'll email CBTV, too, just so they're heads up.
To answer your question, just coffee.
Coffee.
Good coffee.
Real coffee.
Real coffee, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good coffee.
Some things you die agree with.
Some sugar.
Are there other questions on the
original
your binders, the top plan, the process, the dates, the schedule? How much reading you need to do between now and then?
Yeah. And I assume any of us can contact you with individual questions about the binders as we're going.
Sure. If you have questions about what you're reading about, and send it to Oliver, me, or Colette. And what we'll do is we'll craft an individual answer, and send it out individually to each of you.
Okay.
All right? Anything else?
Thank you, guys.
We'll take them.
If
the ones that don't have a date or day on them, it doesn't say May 2016, the previous ones.
You can recycle.
Those are, can be recycled?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to get my mileage back in my car. So, our annexation policy